today is found in the second book of Kings, the 18th chapter, and likewise in the second book of Chronicles, the 29th chapter, concerning Hezekiah. We find that Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years of age, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and he was the son of Ahaz. Of this son, Hezekiah was a son of one of the most wickedest kings that had been over Judah. His father, Ahaz, he had likewise turned the people back to serve idolatry. Of this man, Ahaz, he had erected altars in every corner of the city of Jerusalem, and he himself sacrificed and burned incense unto idols. He raised these idols up in this city and caused the people to serve them. He likewise shut the doors of the house of God. He closed the temple. And he likewise was in the city of Damascus, and in that city he had seen an altar built by the king of Damascus. And he liked this altar so much that he brought back with him a pattern of this altar, and he caused the priest Urijah to build an altar as same as the one he had seen in Damascus. Then he took away the altar that was in the house of God, and he set this altar alongside of the one whose pattern he had brought back with from Damascus. This man Ahaz, he caused his children to pass through fire, and he served images. He worshiped them and bowed down before them. He was then a wicked king, but he came to die. And when he died, well, the people didn't even give him a decent burial because he had been so wicked and so sinful in turning the people away from God himself. This king, Ahaz, he was 36 years of age when he passed away. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king in his place, which teaches us that Ahaz was about 12 years of age when he had this son, Hezekiah. Very young in life do the people in the East have children. They mature very rapidly in these countries. And it's nothing unusual for the children, even 12 years of age, to have children. So it was with this Ahaz. He was the father of Hezekiah. He was a wicked man. And now in the midst of this wicked family, we find that God had made choice of one son, Hezekiah. Oh, we see in this the wonderful sovereignty of the grace of God in choosing sinners, sometimes out of the worst of families. You and I, many times, we see families and we see the children and what way they are living and how they are going on in sin and following in the footsteps of their parents. And we often say, oh, what will ever become of such? But oh, behold, God in heaven above is a wonderful God, my hearers. He takes sometimes the worst of sinners and raises them up as monuments of his love, of his grace, of his pity and of his compassion. So he took out of the home of this Ahaz, this man, Hezekiah, and he became king. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David did. He then, the first year that he became king, the first month that he became king, he began to reveal what the grace of God does in the life of a person. This king, when he seen what was going on in the city of Jerusalem, how that the people were so given over to idolatry, what these people were doing, that they were doing this because his father had erected these things in this city. And now this young man, he immediately set to work to make a reformation. This teaches us, my hearers, When the grace of God comes into the heart of a sinner, then, like with Hezekiah, there comes a reformation. There may be some listening to me that have experienced something similar as Hezekiah went to work to do, inwardly and outwardly. There may be some listening to me who had their backs to God. They were running as fast as sin could carry them to hell below. They cared not about anything whatsoever, but it pleased God to come down and put his grace into their souls, and they were turned about face. Oh, they couldn't go on any longer serving the world, serving sin, serving their lust, serving the devil. Oh, they were given to return back to God. And oh, what a change took place in their life. The higher and the greater the position a person may have in this life, like this man, he was king, it will be more noticeable in their actions and in all their works that grace is being magnified in their souls. So it was with Hezekiah. All these people in Jerusalem, they never expected that God would visit them again. They were wholly given over to idolatry. They all had turned away from God. And now God in his infinite love raises up a king that feared him, that loved him, that worshiped him. And that was like David. He was a true David. There was none like Hezekiah in this respect as David was. David, he had a heart that God loved. He was a man after God's own heart, and so was this Hezekiah. There had been other kings that feared God too. Asa, he was a God-fearing king, and Jehoshaphat. Asa, he made friends with a heathen king and asked him for his help. Jehoshaphat, he likewise made an alliance with Ahab, but not Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he feared God, he loved God, he served God all the days of his life. He never turned away from him. And this is what Scripture teaches us, that there was none before him and none after him that so trusted in the Lord God of Israel. This man Hezekiah then, he was an eminent saint. He was a righteous man, a gracious man. And when he seen these things going on in his country, over the country that he ruled, then he immediately set about to make a reformation. This man, he broke down the high places. He tore the images to pieces, and he likewise took that brazen serpent which God had commanded Moses to make and which had been such a great blessing to Israel. For many of the people were saved by looking at this brazen serpent. He took this serpent and he ground it to powder and he called it Nehushtan. There were no other kings like Hezekiah. The other kings, they had connived at these high places that the people went up to worship at. They never took them away. We read of Jeroboam, that ungodly king, how that he likewise placed two calves, one in Dan and another in Bethel, in high places, and he caused the Israelites to go up to worship there for fear that they would return back to Jerusalem and return back to the proper king. And therefore this we read so often of Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin, a great sin. All these high places, my hearers, were eminent places. In the beginning of time, when man began to worship God, they sought for such places, mountains, hills, places of eminence, where they would go up upon and they would build altars and they would worship God there. But the people soon fell into idolatry. They began to build images. They began to make groves in these places. And God came and said that they were not permitted anymore to make these high places. Still they were continued even in the land of Israel. We read likewise of Solomon. He went up to the high place in Gibeon, and God appeared unto Solomon and answered him in this place. God made use of it if it was the proper worship of himself. But now Hezekiah, he destroyed these high places. And now he not only destroyed the high places, but he likewise destroyed all the images that his father had erected in the land, all the altars that were in the city of Jerusalem. On every corner, practically, the commentary says he built an altar. And this man, he had to go ahead and demolish all what his father had built. And then he likewise destroyed the brazen serpent that the children of Israel offered incense unto, even unto that day. This was something that the children of Israel kept in remembrance. It had been a wonderful blessing to them, and they had carried this thing with them. And according to this, they even offered incense to it. But he took it, and he ground it to powder, and he called it Nehushtan, which means it was nothing else but a piece of brass. It was wickedness, it was idolatry to offer incense unto it, and he destroyed it. Good for him, my hearers. Oh, that there were more such men, even in the times in which we live. He has set us an example. Those that have relics, that have things that they treasure, and those that mean good with them, they do not need such things in the Christian church. Oh, how many have thought by doing these things that it would be good for the people. They would thereby remember them, what had happened with it. And they keep these things in the church. We have even in the Christian church, some churches, they have a big cross up in the front of the church. And they likewise have this as a relic to put before the people's minds what had been hanging on that cross. This is not necessary, my hearers. We should do with that as Hezekiah did. He demolished it. Under the Old Testament church, there were no relics in the religious worship of the people. They did have the pot of manna, and they did have the rod that Aaron had and put in, and it blossomed, but they had these things in this ark, and this ark was in the Holy of Holies, and nobody that came to worship ever seen these things. This brazen serpent was only kept by the people. There was no divine command for this. They just kept it as a relic, as a reminder. And see what they did with it? They made an idol of it. They worshiped it. And this is what takes place. Even though we may love the truth, and we may love the men that bring the truth, we are not to make idols of them. We are not to set them up on a pedestal and worship them. This is what we are to read. This is what we are to go by the Word of God. We should read this and meditate upon it and pray over it. And this is what God has given us. We need no relics in the church. And let everyone that loves the gospel pray that we may not have such things in any part of our churches, that we may worship such things. This man Hezekiah, he destroyed it, which is the proper thing to do. And now this man Hezekiah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel as none other had done before him or after him. He clave unto the Lord, and he obeyed God as Moses had commanded in his commandments, and he walked in his commandments and obeyed them and did them. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered in everything that he did. Oh, my hearers, what a wonderful text. There was no one like Hezekiah that trusted in the Lord God of Israel, before him or after him. What is it to trust in the Lord? Do you know what it means? Have you any trust in the Lord? Do you think that this was Hezekiah himself, that he trusted in the Lord? Oh, no, my hearers, It was the grace that God gave him that caused him to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord is to rely upon him, to have confidence in him, to have faith in him, to have hope in him, to have expectation in him, to build our eternal all upon him and cast our burdens upon him. This is what this man, Hezekiah, was given by grace to do. He relied upon God. He had confidence in God. He obeyed God. He walked in his commandments, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord was with him, and the Lord made him to prosper. See what the grace of God did? Oh, my hearers, if the grace of God has entered into your heart, then you have done likewise as this man Hezekiah. Oh, when we are given to return back to God, and we are given to know him and to love him and to fear him, then we likewise have this trust in God. Oh, some of you that have experienced this in the beginning of your first love, oh, what a wonderful time this was, how you could put your trust in God, even in providence and in grace. Oh, you loved the Lord, you clave to him, and he was with you. You came up to his house and you found his presence round about you. You went to pray and he gave you to pray. You read his precious word and you read it with so much life and so much feeling. Oh, this God was your God. You loved him, you feared him, you clave to him, and you had it in your heart that you would never leave him nor forsake him. Oh, my hearers, do you remember that time when it was like that with you? And now, how is it now? Some of you may say, oh, where is it? I wonder now whether I do love him. I can't believe at times that there's a spark of love left in me when I consider my life, my conversation, the love that I have for sinful things. Oh, where is this that I had at one time? It seems to be all gone. Do you know of such things, my hearers? Oh, what a mercy that this God at times ignites this celestial flame in the souls of his dear children. For if he did not keep it alive, it would never remain. But where once the love of God has been planted in a sinner's soul, irrespective of how low that this sinner may sink and how far he may feel himself to be from God, there comes a time that God ignites this flame again, and everything seems to be so wonderful. It seems to be so true again, and we wish that it would stay. We wish that it would remain, but it doesn't, my hearers. Hezekiah then was a gracious man, a God-fearing man, and he was likewise a good king over Judah, for he immediately started a reformation. But when we come to the book of Chronicles, the second book, the 29th chapter, we read that the first day of the month, he had no more than been one day king, then he started already to reform this city of Jerusalem and the people in it. For he immediately opened the doors of the temple. They had been closed by his father. He repaired these doors. And he likewise began to call on the priests and on the Levites, whose office and whose work it was to serve in the temple. They had not done this for a long time. They had made no offerings, no sacrifices in the temple. And now he called the priests and the Levites together, and he spake unto them and said unto them that it was God that likewise had visited them for their sins and for their iniquities. Their fathers had departed from God. They had not worshipped him anymore. They served idols, and God had brought a great judgment upon them. He said, your sons, your daughters, your wives, they have been carried away into captivity. Over 150,000 men were slain by this invading army. And this Hezekiah brought before the priest and before these Levites, pointing out to them their sins and their iniquities, and that was the reason why, because they had closed the temple, they had turned away from God, and God visited them for their sins. And now he commanded them that they should sanctify themselves, and that they should go into the temple, and that they should cleanse the temple. He said unto them, God has chosen you for this work, and now be ye not negligent in doing this, else the fierce wrath of God will come down upon you. He said, it is in my heart, he says, to make a covenant with the Lord. And he wanted these priests and these Levites likewise to make a covenant with God. He commanded them to go into the temple to cleanse it from all its filthiness and to prepare the temple for the worship of God. They were negligent. They had been careless. They had been indifferent concerning their work which God had chosen them for. They hadn't done this for a long time. Oh, and therefore he spake unto them and said unto them that they should not be negligent. For if they did not do this, then God would visit them with more judgments. But it was in his heart to make a covenant with the Lord, that the fierce wrath of the Lord may be turned away from them. And he wanted them likewise to enter into a covenant, and the people also, that they would be God's people, that they would serve him and love him and fear him. This was what a heart this Hezekiah had. His heart was filled with love for God and for his service, and he wanted everybody else to be that way. Oh, my hearers, if God has ever come into your heart, it has been the same way. Have you ever had it in your heart to make a covenant with the Lord that the fierce wrath of the Lord may be passed from you? Have you ever had that love, that spark within you, that you would likewise return back to God and that you would serve him? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, if God puts this into our heart and gives us the grace to set it forth, that we may turn back with all our hearts unto the Lord. This is what Hezekiah commanded these Levites and these priests to do. And we find that they were obedient unto Hezekiah. They went in and they began to cleanse the temple. And in 19 days they had the temple cleansed and it was prepared for worship. And we find that Hezekiah likewise called all the people together to come into the temple, and he again instituted the worship of God in the temple. Or he set it forth in the right way. This man and Hezekiah, he was a great reformer in his country, and he did that which was right in the sight of God. I was thinking of this man and thinking of our own blessed country. What a blessing it would be if God would raise up a man similar to Hezekiah. We would say, looking at it from a natural point of view, it would be almost impossible for him to do what Hezekiah did. But oh, there's nothing impossible by God. When we consider the Congress that we have and the Senate that we have, and if we had a man that wanted to do what Hezekiah did, oh, what opposition there would be. You may be sure that he met with opposition too, this Hezekiah, but he went forward and did what God put in his heart to do. And now we find that this man Hezekiah, he likewise was also visited by an invading army. It was in the fourth year of Hezekiah that we find Shalmaneser, he came up against the cities of Israel, against Samaria, and he took them. He fought with them and overcame them, and he carried all the Israelites captive, and he brought them into different cities in his own land. This Shalmaneser, he carried Israel captive. And then we find that while Hezekiah was serving as king in the 14th year of his reign, then we find Sennacherib. He was the successor of Shalmaneser. He was king likewise over Assyria. He only was king 4 years, and he came up with a tremendous army. He came up and surrounded Jerusalem. He took in all the fenced cities that Hezekiah had. And Hezekiah, he sent word to him, and he said, "I have offended," he says. "Put up to me what thou wilt, and I will give it to you if you will depart from me." And he put up to him so many talents of gold and so many talents of silver. And Hezekiah, he took the gold off the doors of the temple and also of things that he had overlaid with gold. And he gave him the talents of silver out of the treasury in the temple to make this king depart from him. But he did not depart from him. He accepted the money, he accepted the gold and the silver, but he did not depart with his army from around Jerusalem. And we find that this king then of Assyria, he sent servants of his to speak unto Hezekiah. These servants, they came up to the city of Jerusalem, and they demanded an audience with the king. They wanted King Hezekiah to come out of the city. They wanted to talk to him, but he refused to do so. And he sent some of his servants to them. And these servants of the king of Assyria, they spake to his servants. The language that these servants used from Assyria, especially one, Rabshakeh, how he railed upon the living God, how he lied and told things that were not true. He even tried to get Hezekiah not to believe that God was with him. For he says in one sentence, "Have I come up of myself? Hath not the Lord sent me? Did not the Lord say unto me, go up and take this city?" What a liar he was, as if God was speaking to him. But if this my hearers comes home and you have grace in your soul, then you begin to think, maybe God is with the man. For look at what he did. Look at all the ruination that this king had done and how many cities he had taken in. And then he come to Jerusalem. Oh, Hezekiah, he had spoken unto these servants and said to them, "Don't answer him, don't say a word to him." Oh, this Rabshakeh, he was the voice of this king. And he tried to get the men that were upon the wall to come over on his side. He tried to make mutiny in the city of Jerusalem. This was his attempt to try to get this city. And these men of Hezekiah, they didn't want these Syrians to speak in the Jews' language. They wanted them to speak in the Syrian language to them, for they understood it, but they wouldn't even abide by that. They spake in the Jews' language. They attempted to get these men that were on the wall on their own side. "Come over to us," they said. "Make a league with us, and we will take you back to a land just as good as your own, a land that is fruitful, a land that has plenty in it. Only come on our side." This is what they were attempting to do. And now these servants of Hezekiah, they had to listen to all this railing that this Rabshakeh did. And finally they came back to Hezekiah, and they spake unto Hezekiah the words that this Rabshakeh had spoken to them about. And now Hezekiah, he received the message from these men, and he went and he tore his clothes, and he went in sackcloth and ashes, and he went up to the temple to pray to God concerning the message that he had received. This man Hezekiah, in the midst of all this, what was going on outside of the city, being surrounded by the army of the Assyrians, and being likewise told that he could never win against them, this man had to go through so many things while this was taking place. He had been a good king for his people. Oh, he had inaugurated the worship again of God. He had likewise held a wonderful Passover. He had called the people to come to Jerusalem to observe this Passover in the first year of his reign. There hadn't been a Passover for years. And so many of the people accepted his invitation and came to Jerusalem. And they had a wonderful time with God being present with them, for his favor came down upon them. But now, here he is surrounded with this army, and lo and behold, this king, he likewise falls sick. At the same time as this army is surrounding the city. Now he went into the temple and he prayed to God, bringing before God what these men had said, and said to God how true it was what they said, that all these cities had been taken and that their gods could not save them. But he was the true God, he was the living God. And wouldn't he prove to all the nations round about that he was the God of heaven and of earth? This is what Hezekiah brought before God. Oh, he brought before God his own honor, and he wanted God to honor himself in likewise delivering the city of Jerusalem out of the hands of Assyria. And he sent these messengers to Hezekiah, he sent them to Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet seems to have been living at the time, and he sent these messengers to them, and they came to him and told him what this Rabshakeh had said, and they asked him by the mouth of Hezekiah if he wouldn't send up a prayer for the remnant of the people that remained. And Isaiah sent back word to Hezekiah that God would deliver the city, that this army would not even come into the city, that they would not even shoot a bow in the city, but that he would cause them to return, and that their king likewise would fall in their own land. This was the promise that God gave by the mouth of Isaiah to Hezekiah concerning the army of the Assyrians around about Jerusalem. Now this Rabshakeh and those that were generals over this army, they received word that another country was making war against Assyria, and they were called back to fight against this army that was coming up against Assyria. And therefore, for a little while, it seemed as if God was using this war so that these Assyrians would not enter into the city of Jerusalem. But what happened to this army, and what God did for Hezekiah in his sickness and in his trouble, we hope to speak about next week, the Lord willing. That's all for today.